Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It is about 9:20, so time for hymn sing. And I'm hoping that some of you have been looking and finding your favorites. But actually, we're going to start with a request from Pastor that we sing Calvary Covers It All, the insert in your bulletin. Sorry, Diane, I didn't have you ready for that. So Calvary Covers It All. We've sang this before, and we'll do verses 1 and 4 right now to remember our song so that we can sing it loudly during the service. So Calvary Covers It All.
The world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it. Took on him there, and Calvary covers it all.
And let's do verse 4.
How blessed the thought that my soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all.
Thank you, Pastor. I did need that refresher on that song. It's a beautiful song. Yes, thank you, Ron. Okay, number 381. First and last, 381. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. The first and the fourth verse.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are.
Verse 4.
Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed
And another request? Yes, Susan? 380. One page back, 380. There's within my heart a melody. Do you have favorite verses? 1 and 3 of page 380.
Within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. My every longing keeps me singing as I go.
And verse 3.
Though this temptation leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
And we have time for one more. Yes, Becky? Oh, we'll go this way. What did I hear? 394. Something beautiful. And how about if we sing it through twice?
Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I had to brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life.
Thank you, everyone. We will now continue with our worship service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. That was beautiful. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. We're very happy to have you all here in the beautiful sanctuary today, as well as those of you joining us on Zoom. That's such a wonderful thing now available, so people can join us from their own home when they can't be here. Of course, we'd like a special welcome to any visitors today. Appreciate you being here. Friends and family and new folks are always welcome. Thank you. Please sign in the pew pads, the little red booklets at the end of the pew so that we can record your attendance today. And feel free to leave information there if you want to be contacted. There's also prayer cards by the hymnals and Bibles in the pews, if you have any requests on there for joys or concerns, and you can put those in the offering plate when exiting. And of course, after service, we have a wonderful fellowship time across the breezeway in the fellowship hall. Please consider joining us for that and have coffee and snacks. And now for our announcements. As you can see on the screen, we have some birthdays this February: Carol Pastilli, Sharon Kelsey, Pastor, and Mary Miller. So happy birthday to all our February birthdays. The Friendly Visitor newsletter is available. There are copies in the narthex, and of course, some of you get them digitally delivered, which of course is a nice savings on paper and costs of mailing. And please contact the church if you want to change how you're receiving your newsletter. It's season 3 of The Chosen, and they'll be continuing with that today at 11 a.m. in the Camellia Room. And, of course, we're still offering our book club. Deb is hosting that on Tuesday, February 17th at 10 a.m., also in the Camellia Room. And this week, The Labors of Hercules Beale is the book that they've been reading, and Deb tells me it's a young adult book, and it sounds interesting. I have not read that one. Of course, this Wednesday, believe it or not, the calendar year is just flying by, Ash Wednesday, so we need to prepare our heart for the season of Lent, and the service will be at 7 p.m. this Wednesday. Parents' Night Out, February 27th. Learn about life in the Renaissance, and that's at 6 o'clock until 8:30. And if there's no other announcements, then please stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And please remain standing and join in our opening hymn, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, number 128.
Whatever I do, where'er I be, so
Thank you, and now's the time for passing of the peace. And with you. Thank you, everyone. And I see Deb has the microphone, and she is heading towards the front of the church. And next will be our chances to share our joys and concerns. If you have a joy or concern to share, you'll just need to raise your hand, and Deb will bring you the microphone. Thank you.
Oh, mine is on.
You're good now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See what I have? Something here today? My birthday present.
All right.
I'm still 29. Okay. My son, Jonathan, gave me, when he came to visit a couple of Sundays ago, he saw that I needed one. So he bought one here so that I can recognize our friends on Zoom from here. Welcome, Helen. So glad to see you, as always. And George, so glad to see you too. And June, welcome. Kenny and Alicia and Destiny. And now I see April has a new location services. That's what it says. Welcome, April and Bill. Chris, welcome. And the one on iPad, welcome. Mike and Carol, welcome.
No, Sophie, we're not going yet. She was so excited this morning. She hasn't been here for about a month because of Lorraine's illness. And when I says, "Sophie, you want to go to church today?" She was running in circles and just going crazy. And she was so excited to be able to be here. She understands. I was here last Sunday, and I think I told you that Lorraine was looking at checking into hospice because she could tell things weren't going well. And so that next morning, Monday, I used to get up a little bit before her, and I eat a real light breakfast, and I just had a bowl of cereal. And I was in the kitchen, and I heard her hollering for me, so I ran back there. And she says, "Call the ambulance. I want them to take me to hospice." And I said, because I've been through this before, I says, "You don't just go to hospice. You have to be referred by a doctor, you know, or some medical thing." And she says, "Well, I don't care. Just get an ambulance for me." So I called an ambulance. And they showed up, three fire trucks and, you know, the ambulance and everybody. And we're in a cul-de-sac, so it filled up the whole cul-de-sac. So they couldn't get her the gurney in there because the hall was too narrow and had bends in it and all that. So they had to carry her out in a leather sack or something, and put her in the ambulance. They took off, and then her daughter, Amanda, who I'll get to later, was over there because of how she was doing. And so Amanda and I drove over to Redlands Community to the emergency. And they took her right in, and they took just a few minutes, and they put her in a small hospice room that they had in the emergency room. And they checked her all out and everything, and then they decided she was really bad, really close. And they says, "We're going to move her upstairs to the main one." Sophie was with her. I don't know how to get the pictures out of my phone, but I got a picture of Sophie. Lorraine laying on her back, and she's got holding Sophie. And it was very touching. But anyway, so we were there for a number of hours, about 5 or 6 hours, and they says, "We're going to, if you want, you can take off some time. It'll be within 24 hours. So we took a break and everything, and then Amanda went back down there later that evening, and she passed at 4:58 in the morning on Tuesday. Peacefully, and they gave her, I can't remember the names of these medications, they gave her the highest rated painkiller on the planet, because that's how bad she was hurting. So anyway, she had one of these things like I do. Everything's paid for ahead of time. You know, you pick you up, prepare you, do whatever they're going to do. So we went through that, and then we came home. And I'm going to have to change some language on this. Put your seatbelts on. This tore me up. Anyway, so of course I called my son, and we called other relatives that she had passed. And he came over to see me. That was Tuesday. He came over on Thursday because he was sick and he didn't want to be around anybody. He came out on Thursday. He says, "Pops, I'm going to take you out to dinner and we can just talk." I said, "Fine." So he took me over to Redlands someplace and we had dinner and we came back to our house. And we went in, and Amanda and her husband were in the dining room. And they were just doing some of their own paperwork that they had to do, not to do with Lorraine, but, you know, they had, you know, paying bills for themselves and all that. And her daughter was a godsend for me. She's a wonderful cook. She would go to the Staters and go shopping and things that needed done around the house. She was there. She was there for us. So anyway, I went on into the kitchen to get a drink of water. And when I came out, I could tell there was something wrong. And my son took off, and Amanda came out kind of dazed. And she says, "Brian just told us," like I said, I'm going to change the language on this, "to get Lorraine's stuff out of this house." I says, well, what did he say? He says he didn't want us in his house. He wants us to get out and take all our stuff with us. And Lorraine's stuff. So that didn't sit well with me, but I thought, well, maybe they misheard it or something. So I saw him the next day, made a point to see him. And I asked him about this. He says, oh, yeah. He says, we're not going to let them live in this. That's not their house. Well, I said, it's not your house either. It's my name and Lorraine's name is on the deed. So that really disrupted me. So he was going to come over. Oh, a couple of days ago, I said, I don't want you here. And he said, so I don't know where we're going to go from here, but I was laying in bed awake very early this morning, and he's going to come over tomorrow for a legitimate reason, but I'm going to take him around to go in the master bedroom. Got a king-size bed and three dressers. They're all Lorraine's. Like, okay, well, here's some of Lorraine's stuff. Go into the dining room. The dining room table is Lorraine's. Go into the kitchen. The refrigerator and the freezer are Lorraine's. Go into the living room. 65-inch TV, that's Lorraine's. I guess we're going to get rid of all that stuff. So, needless to say, I'm highly upset. I just want you to be aware of it. I don't want him to get away with this. So, on a lighter note, it's good to be back here, and it's good to bring little Sophie with us, okay? Hopefully we get this all straightened out.
Thank you, Ron. We will pray for healing and forgiveness.
Good morning. My name's Pat Shores. This past weekend, or part of last week, my sister Allison, who lives here in Yucaipa, she went to college up in Northern California, and she has three good friends that all live up in Northern California that she met at college. And anyway, they came down to see her, and Allison has a timeshare, and the closest one to Yucaipa, I guess, is in Hemet, so that's where they went. But anyway, they went to her timeshare and spent several days visiting and having a good time. And it was so nice that she had a chance to do that. And she told me, well, I'll be home either Sunday or Monday. And so I was over picking up her mail, and I was doing a little bit of weeding at her house and stuff. And bingo, she showed up yesterday, and I was over there, and I said, well, what are you doing here? And she says, well, I came home, obviously. So anyway, but she had a great time, and I'm just so grateful she had a chance to do that, because I suspect I mean, she hadn't seen these gals for many, many, many years, so I suspect she probably won't see them again in her lifetime. But the other thing I wanted to mention is my brother Bill and his wife Diane are in Wildwood Canyon Villa on Colorado Street. I think a few of you may know Bill, probably most of you don't, but if you do and you have the time and whatever, I think he would enjoy, I mean, anybody that would come, he'll love to talk your ear off. So if you could stop in for a little bit and visit with Bill, he would probably enjoy that.
Thank you.
And Cheryl will be going to have a knee replacement surgery that she's been waiting for such a long time on 24th. So please continue to pray for Cheryl and the successful surgery.
Anyone on Zoom, please unmute and raise your hand.
Thank you, everyone. If you'd now please join me in the unison prayer. It's printed in your bulletin and on the screen. Dear Lord Jesus, how can we ever thank you for laying down your life to save sinners such as we are? You have washed us clean from sin and shame, and the grace of Calvary still lights the path beneath our feet. May we respond to your great salvation with hearts full of gratitude and walk humbly and joyfully, bearing the small crosses you have entrusted to us for the glory of your name. Amen. And
let us all pray continually in silence, lifting up our loved ones, our church, our nation, and lift up the prayer for ourselves as well. And that we may bring every burden that we've been carrying by ourselves unto the Lord. Lord Jesus, life becomes troublesome at times, and the burden we carry seem to be heavy, that we have difficulty carrying the burdens, and we do not necessarily understand why the burdens, why the troubles. But, oh Lord, we are reminded once more that you carry the old rugged cross onto Calvary's hill on our behalf and gave us small crosses to carry. So we may not have answers to why those crosses upon us, but we know that they have come from you. And we recognize you, O Lord, in our lives. We recognize the crosses that you have given unto us. So with the humility, we once more commit ourselves to carry them, even when we wonder why. So give us the willingness, give us the understanding, and even clear vision of our life journey, that we may find peace instead of a troubled heart within us, that we may be steady on our path, relying upon you, drawing strength from you, and continue to carry those small crosses unto the very day. And we know the day will come that we will exchange our crosses for a crown you have prepared for us. So, Lord Jesus, help us to focus on you, on your will in our lives. And may we know, O Lord, even though we may think the troubles we experience are unnecessary, but Lord, they are for your glory. And we are willing to carry them for your glory. So here we are recognizing your will, your presence in our lives, and praying that you use us as you plan. And you have the most perfect will upon our life journey. Your will be fulfilled. So recognizing your presence and your plan in our life, O Lord, we now join our prayers together, the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is In Every Life, written by Marla Frazee. In every birth, blessed is the wonder. Psalm 139:13-14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In every smile, blessed is the light. Proverbs 15:30. A cheerful glance brings joy to the heart, and good news invigorates the bones. In every hope, blessed is the doing. Matthew 15:6. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In every sadness, blessed is the comfort. Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In every moment, blessed is the mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. In every love, blessed are the tears. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And in every life, blessed is the love.
John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. May we be the conduits of God's endless and perfect love. Amen.
Thank you. Please join us singing hymn 509, Jesus Savior, Pilot Me.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown ways before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal, chart and compass climb from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother steals a child, thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous wave, obey thy will. When thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I hear the shore and the fearful breakers roar, twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee.
Today's scripture reading comes from Numbers chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, and verse 33 and 34. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "The Israelites shall camp each in their respective regiments, under ensigns by their ancestral houses. They shall camp facing the tent of meeting on every side. Those to camp on the east side toward the sunrise shall be of the regimental encampment of Judah by companies. The leader of the people of Judah shall be Nashon, son of Amminadab, with a company as enrolled of 74,600. Those to camp next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar. The leader of the Issacharites shall be Nethanel, son of Zuar, with a company as enrolled of 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun, the leader of the Zebulunites, shall be Eliab, son of Helon, with a company as enrolled of 57,400. The total enrollment of the camp of Judah by companies is 186,400. They shall set out first. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses, the Levites were not enrolled among the other Israelites. The Israelites did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. They camped by regiments, and they set out the same way, everyone by clans, according to ancestral houses. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you all here worshiping together. And I am happy to have all our faithful worshipers online worshiping at the comfort of their home. My prayer is that we will open our hearts that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that comes working within our hearts and speak to us, and that we may all hear the word of God that we need to hear this morning. A businessman lost all his money gambling in Las Vegas and only had $3.50 left. He asked the cabbie for a ride to the airport and promised to mail the fare later. "No money, no ride," the driver said, slamming the door. A year later, the businessman returned, won big this time, and even recovered the loss from the previous year. He left the casino to find the long line of taxis, including the same rude driver at the very end. He went to the first cab. "Airport, how much?" $15. "Will you take $3.50? Get lost." He repeated this all the way down the line. Every driver yelled at him. Finally, he got to the last cab, the rude driver. "How much to the airport?" $15. "Perfect. Let's go." As they drove past a line of angry cabbies, the businessman leaned out the window, grinning and giving every driver a big thumbs up. The driver asked, "You know all those guys?" "Nope," he said, "but they all know you." All the cabbies might have thought the businessman's driver was crazy for accepting such a ridiculous fare to the airport. Meanwhile, the driver was unaware of what others thought of him. Beside the businessman, all the angry cabbies and once rude driver were confused about the situation. Doesn't this reflect our own confusion about life and circumstances? Don't we have fuzzy understanding of how we have lived, where we are today, and where we are headed? We do. This morning's message from God's Word offers insight into how we should see and interpret our earthly journey, especially through the perspective of the cross. Today's scripture reading may seem like one of the most boring passages in the entire Bible because it talks about seemingly meaningless numbers and the arrangement of the camp. But numbers convey much truth and contain hidden meanings. And if we have eyes to read and understand it from a messianic perspective, which I have often mentioned, it is a fascinating place to study. So let's delve into it. About a year after leaving Egypt, God instructed Moses to conduct a census. The Israelites faced numerous difficulties in the desert with harsh living conditions, no land to cultivate crops, and insufficient water for drinking. Surrounding nations saw them as a threat and attacked. The purpose of the census was to organize the nation for survival and defense. Both chapters 1 and 2 record a total of 603,550 men aged 20 and older, which, including women, children, and youth, could have totaled over 2 million. 40 years later, just before crossing Jordan into Canaan, Moses performed a second census, again counting men 20 and over, to determine land distribution in Canaan. According to Numbers 26, the number of men in Israel was 201 601,730, slightly less than in the first census. During the 40 years in the Sinai Desert, all who were 20 or older at the Exodus, except Joshua and Caleb, died, most likely due to natural causes, as the average lifespan at the time was about 40 years. Many would have died of natural causes, having been around 20 during the Exodus. And then, you know, they live, what, 40 years? So by the time they reach the border of Jordan and Canaan, they would have been 60 years. So most of them have died. But another factor was fear after spies reported Canaan's strength, leading to rebellion against God. Right after they got out of Egypt, they moved straight to the border of Jordan and Canaan and then sent spies, and then they were terrified by the resident in Canaan. God was displeased by their disbelief and declared that except for Joshua and Caleb, the rest could not enter the promised land. Still, by comparing the total population from the two censuses taken 40 years apart, we see the numbers of Israelites remain similar. See that? The first census was what? It was 603,000, and then 40 years later, it was 601,000. You know what that means? Despite the loss of those over 20 years old at Egypt's exit, the numbers remain similar, which means that God, with his grace and power, had sustained millions of Israelites in the desert. The similar numbers from the two consensus speak to us the same truth. And if you look at where you are today and 40 years ago and compare them, what do we see? Despite many upheavals we've been through, we have been wonderfully sustained by God's grace. God was very specific about arranging the tribal camp, and the number of each tribe was accounted for. Again, these numbers carry a hidden message. Let's look at the general layout of the camps before moving into numbers of each camp. Each camp was paired with three tribes. See that? West, north, south, east. There are four directions, and each camp has three tribes. And altogether, 12, right? East camp consisted of Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. South camp had Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. The west belonged to Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. North consisted of Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. All four camps had 12 tribes, but they did not represent the 12 sons of Jacob. The two of Jacob's sons, Joseph and Levi, were missing from the camp. The reason was Ephraim and Manasseh, the Joseph's sons, were counted as two tribes instead of one. And then Levites were not counted in the census because Levites were set apart to serve in the tabernacle. And they stationed right at the center beside the tabernacle. The tabernacle and the Levite station were at the very center of the four camp. So think about it. Try to picture the shape of the camp of Israel. Tabernacle and Levite in the center, and those four camps around it. What would have been the reason behind this arrangement? It's not exactly difficult to figure it out. Tabernacle at the center, the Levites at the center, imply God wanted his people to place God at the center of their lives. More specifically, the tabernacle was the place of worship, and the Levites were there to lead people to worship God. Likewise, worship to be the center of Jehovah's faith. So you apply the same principle to us. In the same way, we should keep God at the center of our lives, and worshiping God is the focal point of all our activities. Now let's examine the number of each camp. To help us understand better, I'm going to start with the west camp that belonged to the camp of Ephraim and two other tribes. The total number of people in this camp was 108,100. The north camp belonged to Dan and two other tribes, totaling 157,600. The south camp belonged to Reuben and two others, totaling 151,450. The east camp belonged to Judah and two others, totaling 186,400. You may wonder, why those numbers? These numbers may not make sense. But try an aerial view of the entire camp proportioned to the numerical sizes of each camp. I mean, if you think that you are standing on mountaintop looking down at the camp of Israel, down at the foothill. The tabernacle is at the center, and the Levites right next to it. Ephraim is the shortest, and the opposite side of Ephraim camp is Judah's, which is the longest. The north and south camp extend almost the same length from the center. Do you see the shape of the entire camp of Israel? What do you see? The cross. See that Ephraim is the shortest right here. The Judas is the longest down in the bottom. And those two others equally extend from the center. It's the shape of the cross. Is this a coincidence? Think about it. God designed the tabernacle to the little tiny detail to foreshadow the coming Messiah. Through Jesus, God came down to dwell among the people for salvation. Why did God so meticulously command Moses to set up the camp of Israel in such a fashion? Apparently, God has a reason. Like every commandment of God had a reason. And the reason has to do with the pattern that reflects the cross of the Messiah Jesus every time Israel camp. And this is something that I learned while I was leading the Bible study when I was in Burbank, and I just have found out a Bible scholar named by Chuck Missler shared the same view. An average Israelite did not have any way to see the reason for God's command regarding the arrangement of camp. However, whenever Israelite camped, God saw from above the cross of the Messiah in the camp. And I would like to apply this very truth to our life journey. Israel had camped in about 42 different locations before entering Israel. I actually counted several different times. And one thing that I found it interesting was that, you know, out of the 42 different stations, the time when God told Moses to form the camp in such a fashion, that was in the specifically in Desert Sinai, and from the Desert Sinai onto crossing the Jordan, there are about 32 stations, including Canaan, because that was their last camp, right? And 32 stations sounds to me the life of Jesus' lifespan on earth, 32 years, 33 years. Like the people of Israel, we station ourselves in many different places in life. You may have been through 40 different stations. In terms of serving parishes, I have lost the count of it, but this is like somewhere around 15 stations to serve a parish for me. We go through different stations through our journey. And each time, Jesus anoints our station with his redeeming blood and covers them with his cross, as the pattern of Israel camp resemble the cross. We may not see it, but God does shape our stations according to the shape of the cross, which means God covers our stations with his blood through Jesus. Each move and turn, God works invisibly to grace our journey. Lilia Winsett shares the following testimony. I have a cousin who is a Baptist minister. When we were growing up, we only saw each other a couple of times a year. Now we see each other even less. A few years ago, when I hadn't seen him for some time, I suddenly began thinking about him and his family. I just couldn't get them off my mind. And for some reason, I felt compelled to send him a check for $100. I thought about it for a few days and made more than one aborted trip to the post office. I finally mailed it with a letter saying, I hope I wasn't offending him, but I believe the Lord wanted me to do this. A couple of weeks later, I received a reply. My cousin said it never ceased to amaze him how God worked in his life. And now God had once again shown him through us that he would always meet our need. My cousin said the only concern that he had was that I had sent too much. All he had needed was $97.56. Leah did not know why the impulse. the pastor had no idea if his need would be met. For it was a little tiny matters for him, but God did. As the Israelites were unaware of the cross in their camp, we may not recognize every good thing God does for us. We may not recognize his presence, but God always shows up when we need him. God has certainly graced our journey. When we look at our lives through the lens of the cross, our past, present, and future are all under the blood of Jesus. The presence of the cross of Jesus along our path speaks another important truth. In every station of life, God gives us a new cross or crosses to carry. When we arrive at a new station or situation, finding a new cross can be challenging and discouraging. Yet carrying a cross is how God has designed our journey. We constantly engage in soul searching about our mission here on earth. Once we find the new cross Jesus gives us to carry, we give our very best to take it up. Our life journey is all about carrying crosses, small and big. And someday, when we see Jesus face to face, we will exchange our crosses for a crown. Amen.
For continuing to support the work of our church with your tithes and your offerings. Of course, you can drop those by the church office, or you can leave your envelope in the offering plate at the exit. And thankfully, we have special music today from David and Diane.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. We praise you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We praise you especially for your cross. We give ourselves to love and serve you and your people through this offering. And we ask you to empower us in every possible way that we may be able to carry all the crosses that you give unto us. So, Lord, we give you this thanksgiving as our commitment to love and serve you in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please join us in our final hymn, Calvary Covers It All, verses 1 through 3.
Was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covered it all. Calvary covered it all. My past with his sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covered it all. The stripes that he bore, and the thorn that he wore, all this mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame, as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. And Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace, when I look to his face, of the Jesus my crucified Lord. My redemption complete, I then found at his feet. And Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. And Calvary covers it all.
Let us pray. Lord, as we celebrate 40 days of Lent once more, help us remember the cross you carried on our behalf. And also help us remember the crosses that you have given unto us, that we may be willing, that we may commit ourselves to carry them gladly and joyfully unto the very last day when we will see you face to face. So bless, O Lord, as we recommit ourselves to carry the crosses that you have given unto us. And as we are willing, O Lord, empower us to do that, that we may fulfill our earthly mission for your glory. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless us, empower us, and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in peace, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and sure you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there above. Oh, now in peace, in faith, and in love. Amen.